Visa and MasterCard are reconsidering their involvement with Libra.
No, it's not good enough in this regulatory environment to say we'll figure out compliance down the road.
And friction between Rudy Giuliani and Attorney General William Barr is complicating President Trump's impeachment defense.
The Attorney General called the president and said, you know, basically, what is Rudy Giuliani doing?
Plus, an avalanche of used clothes is ending up in landfills. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at the cracks that are forming in the coalition that Facebook's assembled to build the cryptocurrency payment network Libra, here's what you missed. We're reporting that the tense relationship between Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's personal lawyer, and William Barr, the attorney general, is complicating the president's impeachment defense strategy. Here's Sadie Gurman in Washington.
They did not, despite long legal careers, ever really intersect in the same sort of conservative legal circles. And, you know, people close to Barr say that, you know, he's just really not in the same kind of plane that Giuliani is. Giuliani is sort of going out on a limb and being sort of erratic in his comments and being sort of a boisterous defender of the president. Barr is also a defender of the president, but is more measured in his remarks, while he's equally blunt. But the two of them, you know, have not necessarily been able to see eye to eye in this.
According to a source, Mr. Barr was upset that President Trump lumped him together with Mr. Giuliani during his July phone call with Ukraine's president. The Justice Department said the president never asked Mr. Barr to contact the Ukrainians. So what does this mean for the impeachment inquiry? Here's Sadie again.
It is definitely going to complicate, you know, the impeachment proceedings. It's something that Democrats have always criticized Barr for, you know, that he too closely resembles the president's personal attorney, that he's using the Justice Department to do the president's bidding, and that he's a lackey for the president. And this, you know, grouping them together sort of, you know, gives them more ammunition for that point. But the fact that they are sort of quibbling, you know, might complicate the president's messaging and legal strategy.
President Trump said on Twitter this morning, quote, "As I learn more and more each day, I'm coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it's a coup." And $20.4 million. That's the size of a deal that Johnson & Johnson said it had agreed to in order to avoid a coming trial in Ohio. The trial accused the company of helping spark an opioid addiction crisis. Johnson & Johnson didn't admit liability as part of the settlement. It said in a statement that the deal allows it to, quote, "avoid the resource demands and uncertainty of a trial as it continues to seek meaningful progress in addressing the nation's opioid crisis." The trial, which is set to begin later this month, is considered a bellwether for thousands of opioid-related lawsuits filed against drug companies. And if you don't like coffee but do want a pick-me-up in the morning, this might be the news for you. Coke has said it will start selling its Coke-branded energy drinks in the United States. Coca-Cola Energy is already available in 25 countries, but Coke's partner, Monster, had sought to block sales of the drink in the U.S., citing a non-compete agreement. In July, Coke won an arbitration claim against Monster, which now means that a cherry-flavored Coke energy drink might be heading to a store near you in January. Now, our main story this morning. It has to do with the Libra Association. That's the Facebook-led effort to create a cryptocurrency payment-based network. We're reporting that some of the financial partners in the coalition, including Visa and MasterCard, are reconsidering their involvement. That's partially a result of a backlash from U.S. and European authorities. J.R. Whalen has been finding out more from Peter Rudiger.
So, Peter, when Facebook announced plans for a cryptocurrency-based payments network called Libra back in June, it seemed close to a sure thing. But what has caused some of its financial partners like Visa and MasterCard to reconsider their involvement?
Back in June, Facebook, when it announced Libra, also announced 27 other companies that had agreed to help it build this global payment system that would help folks who don't have access to bank accounts or credit cards buy things online. So some of the names you've probably heard of, Visa, MasterCard, Uber, eBay, these are companies that would help get money into the Libra system and retailers that would help accept it as a method of payment. Now, after it launched, a lot of regulators, both in the U.S. and around the world, have questioned Facebook and some of the members of that coalition about how they're going to prevent that money, Libra, from being used to finance terrorism, used for money laundering, all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, I guess we could look back back at the summer, and we could see the footsteps of critics coming when the Facebook executive behind Libra got an earful from Congress.
That's right. He was on the Hill for 2 days, and, you know, given Facebook's track record with data privacy and the 2016 election, they were kind of holding him responsible for all of Facebook's ills. But they also raised a lot of legitimate questions about, okay, is this going to affect monetary policy, financial stability, again, terrorism financing? How much thought have you actually put into this Libra currency so far? And what assurances can you give us that we should trust you, Facebook, with policing some of this behavior?
Has Facebook not given enough of convincing answers to persuade its potential partners to stay there?
Right. So a lot of what Facebook has said is it's not a Facebook effort to create Libra. It's an association effort. So those 28 companies and organizations jointly are going to come up with a set of rules that will govern how Libra functions. Now, Facebook has been the driving force behind that. There hasn't been a governing document that says what Libra is going to be. There has not even a board that's going to govern the use of the network. So until now, Facebook has been on the hook for a lot of those questions and answers.
And this was far enough along where on October 14th, there was a meeting planned in Geneva to announce a board and to create a charter for the network. Has that schedule been derailed or delayed?
No, that's still on schedule from what our sources are telling us. That's kind of the first big event since the June launch for these different companies, not Facebook, to kind of decide if how much they want to participate. So some of the reservations we've heard from some of these companies were, listen, I didn't have any regulatory problems or that many regulatory problems until I signed on to Libra. Is it really worth it to be a part of this network that, you know, may launch in a couple of years, may not launch, still has a lot of, you know, kinks to be ironed out, or is it better to just walk away right now? Separately, you know, from a PR standpoint, Facebook has asked a lot of these companies, can you provide us some air cover now that we're, you know, getting grilled on the Hill and all these other places for our plans here? So far, it's been crickets, and not a lot of people are going to want to stick their neck out for Facebook at this point around Libra.
And so the next thing happening is this week, a meeting with Facebook and the potential partners about, I guess, Facebook wanting to see which way the wind is blowing and what those partners think they want to do.
That's right. So on Thursday, there is a meeting in Washington on the policy executives from the different companies as part of the Libra Association. That's kind of a precursor to this meeting in Switzerland in a couple of weeks where they'll appoint a board and approve a charter. But yeah, it's really the first time a lot of those companies are going to be in the same room since those events on the Hill over the summer, and they'll be able to kind of coordinate how they want to move together going forward with regulators.
We should add that Dante Disparte, who's the head of policy and communications at the Libra Association, said in an email to us that the group has held regular meetings with regulators and policymakers to discuss conforming to anti-money laundering laws and preventing terrorism financing. David Marcus, who's the Facebook executive in charge of the Libra project, said, quote, I can tell you that we're very calmly and confidently working through the legitimate concerns that Libra has raised by bringing conversations about the value of digital currencies to the forefront. You can read our full reporting on Libra up at WSJ.com. On to markets. U.S. stocks fell yesterday after disappointing manufacturing data came out. The Dow gave away all of its gains for the third quarter after new data showed that manufacturing activity contracted for a second straight month in the U.S. Columnist Mike Bird has more.
So U.S. manufacturing activity is supposedly now contracting, according to the Institute for Supply Management survey, at its fastest pace in 10 years since 2009. And that's interesting to investors because the rest of the world's economy has been performing pretty poorly through 2019. You've seen bad readings in places like China, in Europe, places that are more trade focused, but the US economy has been holding up a little better. Markets obviously didn't like that. The S&P was down, the Dow was down. Today, Japanese markets are down about 0.5%. Chinese markets closed for a holiday, but you're likely to see this continuing rippling through into markets because people really are concerned, you know, the US economy is such a linchpin for the rest of the world's economy that any weakness there can spread around, and it's a major factor for markets.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. WeWork has shelved its IPO and indicated that it might cut jobs in order to deal with its cash flow problems. Now we're reporting that the company is also considering slowing its expansion plans in China. Although WeWork's parent company has moved forcefully to win business in the country, it's struggled to make money there. That's partially due to lower-priced competition and China's cooling economy. Finally, an avalanche of used clothes is filling up landfills. Here's a stat for you. Only 1% of the fiber used to produce clothes is being turned into new garments. That's partially because of the use of mixed fibers and due to a lack of recycling technology. And that's a problem because we're all wearing our new clothes on average fewer times than before. Americans are the worst offenders. We wear our clothes for around a quarter of the global average, meaning just under 50 times for that new sweater or dress. That's prompted companies like H&M and Zara to say they're putting money behind textile recycling research. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.